Welcome to Sermons by Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us. We hope this week's sermon gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our new podcast, Crossroads, where we discuss a wide range of topics pertaining to the intersection of sacred and civic. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. On his last night with his disciples, on the cusp of his betrayal and arrest, Jesus gathered with his friends and gave them a new commandment. Literally, it was almost one of the last things he said to his disciples. Love one another the way I have loved you, he told them. Now, for those of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus, we might ask, what is this way of love that he commanded? Simply put, it is a sacrificial love that is always seeking to break down walls between people, always striving to push open doors that were once closed, and including those within the family of God that many people think shouldn't be there. This way of love is a love that transcends nation and tribe and family, a love that seeks to make new relationships where none existed before. Think about it. Look at Jesus' ministry. He was always breaking down barriers between people, opening up avenues for new relationships and new encounters. He treated women as disciples when he wasn't even supposed to speak to a woman. He associated with people others considered the wrong sort. He literally embraced lepers, ate dinner with notorious sinners, and protected an adulterer from the vengeance of her community. He invited tax collectors and religious zealots to be among his most trusted friends. He viewed the poor not as the losers of society, but as those most blessed in the eyes of God. Yes, Jesus, in his ministry and in his love, turned many assumptions about people and their importance upside down. He broke down walls and opened up room in the kingdom of God for the kinds of people who would never before have been considered worthy. This is the way Jesus loved. And if we are going to follow him, then this is the way we are commanded to love. That's really it in a nutshell. That's a pretty fair summary of Christian discipleship. If I thought better, I might just say amen and go sit down right now. And I bet a bunch of you would prefer that, quite frankly. But as Peter Wenner wrote some years ago in an article for the New York Times, an article that I find absolutely wonderful, he said, Jesus must have understood that we human beings battle with exclusion and self-righteousness and arrogance and have a quick trigger finger when it comes to judging others. Jesus knew how easily we could fall into the trap of turning the other, those other races or ethnicities or classes or genders or nations into enemies. We place loyalty to the tribe over compassion and human connection. We view differences as threatening. The result is we become isolated, rigid in our thinking, harsh and unforgiving. But that is not the way of Jesus. That is not the way of love. And as disciples, we are supposed to be different. I'm reminded of the story of a wonderful woman named Phumla Gobodo. Phumla is a black South African who, after the fall of apartheid, was appointed to South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, a commission created to expose crimes committed during the apartheid years and to seek some sort of reconciliation. Eugene de Kock is a former colonel in the South African police force who confessed to more than 100 acts of torture and murder. He was nicknamed by his men as Prime Evil. On the Truth Commission, Pumla listened for hours to the testimony of de Kock, hearing about his brutality and hatred, and she was there when he was sentenced to 212 years in prison for his crimes. She knew close up what this man was capable of, and yet as a woman of faith, she thought she saw something else in him besides evil. She thought she saw remorse. As a result, she took a risk to visit de Kock in prison. They spent many, many hours together over a period of weeks and months, Colonel de Kock expressing his sadness about his actions and Pumla looking for the man behind the monster. "I was looking for hope, really," she said. "If this man, who everyone sees as the ultimate evil, can feel remorse and reach out, then perhaps there is hope for my country." Ms. Gbodo has written a wonderful book about her experiences entitled "A Human Being Died That Night, A South African Story of Forgiveness." I recommend it to you. This amazing woman who spent months listening to testimony about the evils perpetrated on her people by the rulers of apartheid, this woman reached out of her own volition beyond the hatred to open a door to the possibility of a relationship with Eugene de Kock in the hope of finding some kind of understanding, some kind of connection. She wasn't seeking to let de Kock off the hook for his crimes, but she bore the ridicule and disapproval of her own people because she remembered the central teaching of the Christian faith that the power of love can overcome even the worst evil. Frederick Buechner once wrote about the different kinds of love, and he said, "The love of equals is a human thing. The love of a friend for a friend, brother for brother. It is to love what is loving and lovely. The world smiles. The love for the less fortunate is a beautiful thing. The love for those who suffer, for those who are poor, the sick, the failures, the unlovely. This is compassion, and it touches the heart of the world. The love for the more fortunate is a rare thing. To love those who succeed where we fail, to rejoice without envy with those who rejoice. The love of the poor for the rich, of the black man for the white man. The world is always bewildered by its saints. And then there is the love of the enemy, love for the one who does not love you but mocks, threatens, and inflicts pain, the tortured's love for the torturer. This is God's love. It conquers the world." Friends, where are the barriers, the walls, the closed doors in your life that need to be broken down by the power of love? Who are the people you are estranged from, in disagreement with, in opposition to, that you can reach out to in search of a new and a different relationship? They may be cantankerous, obnoxious, difficult, unlovely, and seemingly unlovable. But you don't have to agree with them. You don't even have to like them. Instead, our Lord calls us to try and love them, which means being willing to work for their well-being in spite of how we feel about them. I remember a wonderful piece that Alice Walker wrote some years ago when she said, "Our last 5 minutes on earth are running out. We can spend those minutes in meanness, exclusivity, and self-righteous disparagement of those who are different from us, or we can spend them consciously embracing every glowing soul who wanders within our reach. Those who without our caring would find the vibrant, exhilarating path of life just another sad and forsaken road." My friends, let's be honest with ourselves. Any faith we claim to have, if it doesn't include love, is fake. Any religion without love is dangerous and destructive, because religion without love is religion without God. Christ has commanded us that we are to love those who deserve it, and most importantly, we are to love those who don't. Because in the end, as that old hymn says, they will know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. Amen.